We are off again to the woods now in the company of Aina Ní Leabhar, environmentalist, author, president of the Tree Council of Ireland. You have promised us as your final arboreal walk, one in Leinster. Where are we going today?
Well, I was down at the Flood during the week in Mullingar, so I decided I would do a walk in Westmeath. And where else would I go? Only to Mullagh Mean. Now, Mullagh Mean Woods is actually on the very north of Westmeath, just west of Oldcastle, on the borders of Meath, Westmeath and indeed Cavan as well. And it is the most wonderful woodland. It's on top of the highest mountain in Westmeath.
Now, well, mountain. Is that the correct use of that word now?
Well, the highest peak, the county top. 261 metres is the height of the county top, and you don't even start at sea level to go up. So you can't really say you're climbing a mountain. And up on the top is this wonderful woodland. It's the largest planted beach woodland in Europe. Not just in Ireland, in Europe.
And exclusively beach, or is there anything else mixed in there?
Well, there's other things mixed in, we'll come to that. But it was actually planted in the 1940s. As a beech woodland, because the soils were particularly suitable to beech. And this was not the norm in the 1940s. It was always conifers that were being planted. And the beeches are now 80, 90 years old. And beech throws a really heavy shade. You don't get ivy on beech. You don't get undergrowth because the shade is so heavy. And it's a wonderful place. Talk about a cool place at this time of the year where it's been so hot. You walk in there and the shade is absolute. And you can see, oftentimes the woodlands are so much undergrowth you can't see.
And is there any sun dappled through the canopy
at all? Oh yeah,
there
is solid. I mean, there is of course sun dappling, but between the immense root system and you don't get the amount of undergrowth that you would get in other places. Now you do in spring before the leaves come, obviously, you get your bluebells. But just as autumn is going to be coming now, what we're going to be seeing here spectacularly is the change in colour in the beech leaves. Mm. Beech leaves change colours to golds, reds, yellow and black and pale and hectic red, all of these colours. And it will depend on good weather in the daytime and cold enough night, so clear time, so that if we get cold nights and warm days, you will get a glorious autumn colour, and this is where you will go to see it. And then the golden leaves fall off the trees and the paths are all lined with gold as you walk through it. It's a spectacular place and people don't know about it. And when you get up to the top, there's a great view because the whole of the Midlands is as flat as a pancake, and to be 300 metres up above the pancake, you can see Lough Sheelan, you can see Westmeath, you can see Meath, you can see loads of places, five counties at least. So wow, it's well worth a walk. If you've never been,
okay,
go.
Who is calling Mullagh Mean home?
Who is calling Mullagh Mean home? Well, I don't know in a sense, because as I said, it's beech trees, and the beech trees then, there's a little arboretum that they've planted there with all the native Irish trees in it. So if you go there and you want to see something apart from beech, there's a little separate, and there must be 19 or 20 of them.
Yeah, I meant birds and animals.
Well, the birds, see, the birds are there, but the birds aren't singing at this time of the year. I mean, as you know, and I've been telling you for the last 3 weeks,
and
birds
I've been listening.
Sing. Yeah, well, of course, birds sing because they're looking for women and they're minding their territory and they're feeding their young. Now, they've all that done. They're finished breeding at this time of the year. They might be feeding the last few seagulls in Dublin or feeding their babbies, but in the woodlands they're all done, so they're not making any noise. Why would you be drawing attention to yourself? Now, if there's any places where there's dappled woodlands, you'll see your butterflies, your insects, that sort of thing. And of course the beech trees will have beech nuts on them, and again there will be things like squirrels, things like pine martens, but you won't see them walking through the woodlands during the day. You'd want to be really lucky to see these mammals, even though they are actually there. So it's really, they're all there, but we may not necessarily see them unless you were doing research and were there at dawn and being real quiet.
You can see the evidence of them being there in the beech nuts, can't you?
The beech nuts being gnawed by the mice and the droppings of the pine martens, that sort of thing. You can see that surely indeed, yeah. So it's a wonderful place to go. And the fact that this was planted way back in the 1940s was, you know, evidence of the way people were thinking about planting, because we did lots and lots of tree planting all during the last century, in fact.
You want to talk to us actually about the difference between reforestation and afforestation.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, reforestation is where you cut down your trees and you replace them in a place where there was a wood already. And there is a requirement when you cut down, first of all, you have to get a felling license to cut trees anyway. And part of that felling license is a requirement to replace your trees. Now, you don't have to replace like with like. And in fact, Caolte, who have huge amounts of forestry in South County, Dublin and North Wicklow, as they remove the foreign conifers, things like spruce from them, they are replacing them with native deciduous trees and turning these into amenity woodlands rather than forestry management plantations. So, but reforestation doesn't increase the amount of land under forestry. Now, if I ask you how much forest, ask anybody that knows, 11% of Ireland is covered in trees. We're the second worst in the EU. The worst is Malta. They've about 1.4%. Us and the Netherlands are second. Even Britain, and I know it's not in the EU anymore, even Britain has 12%. And the highest ones, Finland, has 70% of its area covered in trees. So we are a disgrace. That was the story in the 1990s. It's 30 years later and it's still 11%. And that's the thing. We are not doing afforestation. Now, afforestation is taking a field, taking a place where there's no trees, planting it up and it becoming a woodland. And that increases the amount of area under forestry and it's collapsed. It's not happening. The only culture used to do, I mean, in the 1990s, we planted 24,000 hectares a year with trees. So you were increasing the stocks.
We're supposed last to be doing 8,000 hectares.
No, 3,000. 3,000 last year. It's down to that.
But we're supposed to be, there was a target, I think, of 8,000. But we're nowhere near it.
We're a great person, great country for making rules and regulations. Never bloody do it. Now, the reason why we don't is because you need to get a planning permission, planting permission to plant. Quilcher can't get grants any longer to plant because EU regulations in the 1990s said that one arm of the government can't be given money to a semi-state body. So the Department of Forestry couldn't give Quilcher money to plant a forest. So they don't afforest. So all the afforesting that's been done in Ireland now is being done by private landowners. Well, 80-90% of it
Who are really only interested in monoculture, Sitka,
No, not necessarily.
Not the majority, no?
Well, I mean, farmers could want to plant up might want to plant up a corner of their acre or something like this. But do you know that if you want to plant more than 0.25 of an acre, not even a hectare, 0.25 of an acre, more than that, and get a grant for planting your trees, you must have a planting licence, you must put in a requirement for an environmental study, and you must wait 2 years to get the permission. It's crackers. The thing has collapsed. There's just no trees being
planted.
But
at the same time, we also hear right tree in the right place that we have to get this right.
Well, that's fine, of course. I mean, when you get your planting licence, there's all sorts of laid out conditions. And even if you're planting Sitka spruce, you can't put 100% Sitka spruce anywhere. Forests have to be laid out properly. You have to have 20% of other species. You have to have glades cut through it, rides, places where forest fires won't occur. That's all great. I mean, the regulations are great. You just have to wait 2 years for the bloody licence. And it's causing huge consternation. People are not wanting to go to the expense of environmental impact studies to plant an acre of trees. So they're not doing it. It is just nuts. And it's really important that we should have more trees. Really important. Oh, and we're not having them.
Massively important, isn't it? One of the ways in which reforesting can be done is this very popular idea of continuous cover forestry now, where we don't have to clear fell. Would that be your preferred way of doing business?
Well, the clear felling was to remove a crop. I mean, this is the thing. We get mixed up between an amenity woodland and a crop. I mean, would you clear fell your field of barley or would you just cut a few bits out of it? I mean, the plantations of Sitka spruce were crops grown for timber. And I mean, you clear fell it because that's the economical thing to do. If you have an amenity woodland, if you have deciduous trees, if you have oak, if you have beech, if you have things like ash, well, then that's a different story. And clear felling is not the way forward for those kind of woodlands. In fact, that's when they used to use horses to go in and remove trees because you weren't destroying the rest of the place with big machinery. But we need forestry for soil retention. We need it for biodiversity. We need it for sustainable fuel. We need it for all sorts of raw materials for jobs. And we have such a good soil that we could grow, not boggy soils, not ones with carbon in them. We've plenty of
and
rich mineral
back
soils.
Back to our woodland walk. What happens in Mullaghmeen? Is it reforesting itself in a natural way?
Yeah, Mullaghmeen is fine. I mean, Mullaghmeen has all of these beech trees and the beech trees, when they get a chance. Now, obviously, if a beech nut falls in a complete shade, it can't grow because you need... So it has to wait until there's a gap. And that's the trouble, in a way, with a plantation like even Mullaghmeen, because all the trees are the same age. In a real woodland that was there from time immemorial, you'd have older trees, younger trees, different species. There would be different times when the leaves came on, different spaces in between them. So beech will, of course, recolonise naturally if it gets a chance, but it can't recolonise below itself because there's not enough light and it's dense. But I mean,
does that mean that the fate or the future of somewhere like Mullaghmeen is that within the same, I don't know, 20, 30 year period, everything could end up dying off or being blown down in storms when it gets to 200, 250 years of age?
Perhaps, but I mean, I'm sure it doesn't all fall in one fell swoop. Anyway, there'll be trees called, there'll be things happening to certain trees, lightning, maybe something, you get a gap. I mean, it will make itself right in 200 years because beech are a long-lived tree, in fact. So, but that's the thing about planting all the one species, all the one age. You have them all growing up and there's less biodiversity.
Better
off to take a woodland that you have. And as they did in the Millennium, with the Millennium Forest, if you remember those, they actually enlarged areas where there was woodlands already. So you have a kernel of a woodland and you plant more all around it.
But the thing is, you don't actually need really ultimately to do anything. Nature will kind of take care of itself and do the reforesting for you.
If you go away and don't till your field for a couple of years, it will become the hedges will expand, it will become a woodland. But then if your land is not available for agriculture, are you getting a reduced farm payment? So, I mean, this has to be looked into as well. Why would the farmers imprison their land and trees, reduce their farm payments, not even get grants for it or thanks? It has to be encouraged far more than it is. It's the one thing we can do in Ireland to combat climate change without causing too much hassle. And we're not doing it. So this is my message now. Plant more trees everywhere.
Indeed. Éan and Níolúine, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Now, it's just gone 11 o'clock. Let's go over to the newsroom and Susan Jackson.